I mean, think back to March 2023. You had an artificial intelligence model that cost over $100 million to build, and it was universally considered the absolute smartest thing on the planet.
Oh, without a doubt. It was completely revolutionary at the time.
Right. But then, just 18 months later, it was beaten by a totally free piece of open source software, something you could theoretically just run in your garage.
Yeah, which is just a wild timeline.
It really is.
Yeah.
So how does a $100 million technological marvel become like a cheap commodity in under 2 years? Well, today we are taking a deep dive into the one hidden variable that explains how that is actually physically possible.
Exactly. And we are unpacking a really phenomenal piece of writing today from late March 2026. It's a blog post titled "Compute is the Root of Everything."
Catchy title.
Yeah, it's written by the co-founder and CTO of Compute Labs. And the core mission of this piece is basically to pull back the curtain on the entire AI industry to show you that every single headline, every new startup, every massive industry shift, it all actually boils down to one fundamental variable.
Compute. Just compute. Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you've been feeling overwhelmed by the absolute flood of AI news lately, I mean, consider this deep dive your ultimate cheat code.
For sure.
Once you understand this one root concept, you possess the ultimate framework for predicting what's coming next in the tech world. You can just stop reacting to all the noise. And the author starts by redefining the nature of intelligence itself, which honestly completely reframed my view on AI.
It's a huge perspective shift.
Because for centuries, human intelligence was this profound philosophical mystery. Like, we debated if it was a soul or some magical emergent property of biology, you know?
Right, but the author just bypasses that entire philosophical debate completely. They aren't making a claim about consciousness or sentience or any of that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, it's a purely practical engineering observation for the sake of building useful things. So, tools, agents, software intelligence has basically been reduced to math. It is now completely quantifiable.
Which is kind of jarring to hear, but it makes sense. It does. It boils down to tokens processed, the speed of that processing, and the cost per token.
Let's actually clarify that for a second for the listener. If you're wondering what a token is, just think of a token as roughly a syllable or like a chunk of a word.
Yeah, it's the atomic unit of text.
Exactly. It's the unit the AI model actually reads and writes. So the author is saying intelligence is literally just the cost and speed of generating those syllables. And to prove this, they talk about building six different AI products in just 2 months.
Which is an insane pace, by the way.
Right. Just purely out of curiosity. They built a companion AI, a fortune-telling app, a jewelry recommendation engine, and they realized that every single time they hit a wall in building these things, it was never some mystical problem.
No, it was always a compute problem.
Always. But it was one of two very different types of compute problems. It was either training compute or inference compute.
And separating those two concepts is really the foundation of understanding the entire AI economy.
So break that down for us.
Well, sometimes the roadblock you hit is pure capability, right? The model just isn't smart enough to plan ahead or reason through a multi-step problem without hallucinating or just getting totally confused.
We've all seen that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To fix that, you need training compute. That is the massive upfront processing power used to teach the model how to think better. You are basically feeding it the internet and forcing it to learn patterns.
Okay, so that's training. But then you run into the second wall. Say the model is smart enough to do the job perfectly right, but running it for thousands of users would instantly bankrupt your company.
Right. And that is an inference compute problem.
Inference.
Yeah. Inference is the compute required to actually generate an answer when a user asks a question in real time.
I came up with an analogy for this that might make it a bit more concrete. So think about the automotive industry. Training compute is like the multi-million dollar R&D budget required to design the ultimate hyper-advanced car engine.
Right, the engineering phase.
Exactly. It makes the car smarter. But inference compute, that's the factory assembly line. And honestly, it's the cost of gas.
That is a great way to look at it. What's fascinating here is how this flips the conventional narrative we always hear in the media.
Totally.
Everyone assumes the only thing that matters in AI progress is making models smarter, pushing that frontier of training compute. But you can engineer the greatest car in the world if it costs $10,000 a gallon to run, no one can actually drive it to the grocery store.
Exactly.
So the author argues the actual binding constraint on our future isn't making intelligence smarter, It's making intelligence affordable.
Affordable intelligence is the actual scarcity. I love that. Because if intelligence is just an engineering output and we measure it by cost, then the boundary of what we can build isn't dictated by who has the most elegant neural network. The only question that matters is, what can you afford to run?
Which leads us directly into the economics of what the venture capital firm A16Z coined as LLMflation.
LLMflation.
Yeah, it is this crazy phenomenon where the cost of running these models, so the inference cost, is dropping at a staggering rate of 10x per year.
10x a year? That is just...
It's hard to wrap your head around. Let's look at the math, because understanding how and why this happens is just crucial for anyone paying attention to this space.
Okay, let's do it. Because when GPT-4 launched, running a really advanced AI agent was economically insane for a normal person. But the author notes that in just 17 months, GPT-4's blended price plummeted from $36 per million tokens down to just $4.
36 down to 4.
In 17 months. And fast forward to early 2026, and that exact same level of capability costs around 50 cents per million tokens.
It's a free fall.
It really is. You have Claude Sonnet 4.6 pricing hitting $3 for input and 15 for output, which is totally viable for power users. And then you have these flash tier models running at like 15 to 25 cents.
We should probably explain how this price drop is physically happening, because it isn't just server companies feeling generous.
Right. No one is just taking a massive loss for fun.
Exactly. It is the result of incredibly aggressive software engineering. Labs are using techniques like quantization.
Which means what, exactly?
It essentially compresses the model so it uses far less memory without getting noticeably dumber.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And they are building much better routing systems, too. So simple questions are sent to a small, cheap part of the AI's brain, and the massive, expensive parts are only woken up for, like, complex math. All of these mechanisms together are what's driving that 10x annual drop.
Which begs the question, right, what does a 10x annual drop in costs actually unlock in your daily life?
Right.
Well, the author says it breaks the chat ceiling. Take AI companions, for example. A real companion AI needs to actually know you. It can't just wake up when you type a prompt.
No, it needs continuous context.
Exactly. It needs this always-on background processing to observe your workflow, remember your preferences, just exist with you. Back in 2023, running that kind of ambient intelligence cost over $100 a month per user in raw API costs.
Basically, the toll you pay to access the AI's brain over the internet.
Right. But today...
Yeah.
That cost is literally a rounding error.
And cheap inference triggers the death of traditional software as a service, too. I mean, why would your company pay $500 a month for a generic software tool that only kind of does what you need?
Right, when you can just describe your exact workflow to an AI agent.
Exactly.
The author calls this the printing press moment. You, as a non-coder, just sit there and have an iterative conversation. You say, make the app more like this, or fix this edge case, add a button here.
And every single one of those back and forth prompts is an inference call.
Yes. Building a custom piece of software this way burns hundreds of inference calls in an hour. It only works if those calls are essentially free.
Which means traditional software moats aren't being dismantled by better rival products at all. They are being crushed by cheaper compute.
Yeah.
But the ultimate economic shift the author outlines here is the rise of the super individual.
I love this concept.
It's wild. Imagine one person managing 10 parallel AI agents. One is executing your marketing strategy. One is writing front-end code. One is handling supply chain operations. And one is doing graphic design.
That's 10 continuous, simultaneous inference streams. At the old 2023 pricing, running 10 tireless agents 24/7 would bankrupt an independent creator. But at $3 per million tokens, running 10 specialized, highly capable agents costs less than hiring a single junior engineer.
And the super individual isn't a new breed of genius. It's just a normal person who suddenly has access to a completely new price point for digital labor.
Okay, wait. I have to jump in here and just push back on this premise a little bit.
Go for it.
Because if the math is really this good and prices are dropping 10x a year, the economy should have completely broken by now. I should be able to hire 50 AI agents to run a massive tech empire from my couch while I sit here recording this.
Right, the super individual dream.
Exactly. The economics sound flawless on a spreadsheet, but clearly every single listener isn't a billionaire tech mogul yet. So what is the catch? What's the physical ceiling stopping me right now?
That is the million-dollar question. You're looking at the software economics, but you have to look at the hardware supply chain. The catch is entirely physical. We have this beautiful causal flywheel, right? Yeah. Compute gets cheaper, which creates new apps, which drives massive demand, which should push costs down even further. But there is a massive physical governor installed on that flywheel.
Which is?
The chips are completely sold out. Compute isn't just a cost problem. It is arguably the biggest physical supply chain bottleneck on Earth right now.
And the scale of the hardware hoarding happening right now is honestly difficult to comprehend. Like, Meta stockpiled 350,000 H100 GPUs with a goal of hitting 1.3 million by the end of the year.
Microsoft is sitting on about 500,000.
Yeah. And NVIDIA sold 3 million of these H100 class chips between 2022 and 2024. But their next generation, Blackwell, it has a 3.6 million unit backlog. It is sold out through mid-2026.
To put the physical scale of that hoarding into perspective, pulling the electricity for 350,000 H100 chips isn't just a matter of, you know, plugging in a few extra server racks at a data center.
Right.
We are talking about requiring the energy equivalent of a small nuclear reactor just to keep those specific chips turned on and cooled down.
A nuclear reactor, that is just...
It's massive. And if you were a smaller company or a startup trying to build that super individual empire, you can't just order these chips on Amazon. Data center lead times are stretching from 36 to 52 weeks.
You are waiting a full year just to get the hardware plugged into the wall.
Exactly.
I mean, Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, noted at GTC 2026 that he was seeing $1 trillion in orders.
Yeah.
He explicitly said that chips are more of a limiter on the industry than even power generation.
Because big tech is absorbing thousands of GPUs per order.
Yeah.
The demand for cheap intelligence is vastly outrunning the physical supply of silicon coming off the manufacturing lines.
So true.
But this extreme scarcity creates a really fascinating contradiction. Because these chips are treated like the rarest, most valuable resource on the planet, you would naturally assume that the AI models running on them, the software outputs, are equally invaluable.
You would definitely assume the software is the prize, but the source material reveals that the actual long-term value hierarchy of the AI economy is completely inverted from what most people assume.
Yeah, completely backward.
Yeah. The models themselves depreciate faster than a new car driving off the lot.
And the depreciation curve is brutal. Let's look at GPT-4 again. When it launched in March 2023, it was the absolute frontier. It cost an estimated $100 million or more just in training compute.
Right.
But by July 2024, so just 18 months later, an open source model, Llama 3405B, surpassed it. And that open source model could run on standard commodity hardware.
Meaning off-the-shelf, non-specialized computer parts you could just buy commercially.
Exactly. The model that defined a whole era of technology became a free commodity in under 3 years.
The author states that models have a half-life of roughly 12 to 18 months. So the frontier model of today is the baseline of tomorrow, and it's the legacy system of next year.
It's crazy.
The software output depreciates instantly, but the infrastructure, that appreciates. The physical infrastructure holds its value across multiple generations of these transient software models.
Let's break down the numbers the author provided on this, because it reveals where the actual money is going.
Yeah, this part blew my mind.
Right. When a company buys a massive cluster of GPUs, say 100 H100s, the actual silicon chips cost about $3 million. But the total cost of ownership over 5 years is $8.6 million.
Wow.
Yeah, the GPU itself is only 35 to 40% of the true cost.
Because the other 60% is the concrete reality of the data center. It is the immense multi-year power contracts negotiated with utility companies.
Yes.
It is the industrial-scale liquid cooling systems pumping fluids through the racks. It is the high-speed networking cables woven between the machines and the physical real estate of the building itself.
And when a new AI model paper drops and makes the current software totally obsolete, the concrete, the cooling towers, and the power grid don't become obsolete.
The copper wiring doesn't care if you're running GPT-4 or Llama 3.
Exactly. The author provides a really brilliant framing for this. They say betting on a specific AI model today is like betting on a specific website in 1998.
Oh, that's such a good analogy.
Most of them are going to be replaced or forgotten. But betting on the compute infrastructure?
Yeah.
That is like betting on the internet backbone itself. It doesn't matter if pets.com fails or succeeds. Every single website needs bandwidth.
And this explains a massive shift in capital that the author highlights. In 2025, inference spending actually matched training spending. And by 2026, inference is projected to hit 2/3 of the total workload.
That's a huge pivot.
Right. We are talking about global AI data center capital expenditures hitting $400 to $450 billion. Because training a model is a periodic event, you do it once every few months. But inference, handling millions of users, billions of agent sessions, always on companions, inference is forever.
And because that physical infrastructure is the true backbone of the future economy, the companies building the processors are engaged in a war with stakes that are just so much higher than quarterly market share.
Yeah, the chip wars.
Right. We often view the competition between chip makers as just a standard corporate rivalry, NVIDIA versus Google versus the hardware startups. But the author points out that this chip war is actually a profound philosophical disagreement about the nature of intelligence itself.
Which fundamentally changes how you view the hardware.
It really does.
First, you have NVIDIA and their GPUs. Their underlying philosophy is that intelligence is divergent, meaning we actually don't know what the next big AI architecture is going to look like. The field is moving incredibly fast, and researchers might invent a totally new way to process data tomorrow.
So NVIDIA's bet is on supreme flexibility.
Exactly. The GPU isn't perfectly optimized for just one highly specific math problem. It can handle whatever new neural network design gets dreamed up next.
And NVIDIA's real moat isn't just the silicon either. It's CUDA, their software ecosystem.
Right, CEA is massive.
It is the cultural muscle memory of an entire generation of machine learning engineers who learned to code on NVIDIA platforms. Trying to get the industry to move away from CUDA is like trying to get everyone to stop speaking English.
Yeah.
Even if you invent a slightly more efficient language, the switching cost for the entire population is just way too high.
So NVIDIA bets on flexibility because the future is unpredictable. But then you have Google with their TPUs, tensor processing units. Their philosophy is that intelligence is convergent. They believe that transformers and matrix multiplication aren't just a passing trend. They are the permanent, fundamental mathematical core of intelligence.
Let's actually explain what that means mechanically for a second. Google looked at transformers, which is the architecture behind almost all modern AI, the T in ChatGPT, right?
Right.
Transformers work by looking at an entire sentence or document all at once to find the relationships between every single word.
Yeah.
To do that, the computer has to multiply massive grids of numbers together simultaneously. That is matrix multiplication.
And Google bet early that matrix operations were the permanent core of machine learning.
Yeah, and the author shares a really phenomenal historical detail here. Google built the first TPU back in 2016,
Wow.
right? That was before the famous "attention is all you need"
Right.
paper. The paper that actually invented transformers was even published in 2017.
That is incredible timing.
It is. When transformers took over the world, it perfectly validated Google's hardware bet. Because Google believes the math is settled, they co-optimize everything, the chip, the compiler, the software, to ruthlessly maximize efficiency for that specific type of math,
Right.
rather than staying flexible.
Which brings us to the third philosophy, ASICs, application-specific integrated circuits. Companies like Groq are building these, and their philosophy is that intelligence is entirely settled.
Right. The extreme version of Google's bet.
Exactly. They are saying, we know the exact operations needed, so let's stop using flexible software entirely and just hardwire those specific operations directly into the physical silicon to make it unimaginably fast and cheap.
And the author points out that is the highest reward, but absolutely the riskiest bet of all.
Oh, for sure.
If they are right, their chips are vastly more efficient than anything NVIDIA or Google makes.
Well.
But if the AI paradigm shifts even slightly, like if a new paper comes out tomorrow that replaces transformers with a different mathematical approach, all of that highly specialized hardware instantly becomes expensive scrap metal.
Yeah, you can't just push a software update to physical hardware.
Exactly. So the author reads the board like this: GPU wins for now because the landscape is still shifting, so flexibility is king.
Makes sense.
TPU has a great path if things stay stable for another 3 to 5 years. And ASIC is the wild card. But for you, the listener, who actually wins this corporate war, doesn't really matter.
Why not?
Because the competition itself is the exact mechanism violently driving the cost curve down. Whether it's a GPU, a TPU, or an ASIC, every single engineer at these companies is racing to deliver more intelligence per dollar per watt.
Which brings us all the way back to your daily life and how you can actually use this deep dive to your advantage.
Yes. The author leaves us with an ultimate cheat code for evaluating any new AI product pitch, any new startup idea, or honestly, any new fear-mongering headline. When you hear about something new, you only need to ask one question: At what compute price point does this become viable?
It is a brilliantly clarifying lens.
It really is.
Because if an idea requires current prices, and it doesn't exist yet, it's probably a bad idea, or it's already being built by a massive corporation. But if it requires compute to be one order of magnitude cheaper, meaning a 10x drop in price, then based on the math we discussed, that product is exactly 18 to 24 months away.
You can literally put it on your calendar.
Yes. If it needs a 100x drop, it's a fascinating concept, but is entirely premature. If you understand the compute cost curve, you basically become a fortune teller.
And the author projects that for the next 3 to 5 years, this cost will just keep dropping. The gap between what AI is capable of and what is affordable to deploy is going to completely vanish. We are hurtling toward a reality where compute is effectively free. And that leads to a really profound question. When the cost of intelligence approaches zero, and when the cost to build a piece of software or a new company becomes trivially cheap, what becomes the new scarcity in the world?
Yeah, if you had unlimited free artificial intelligence tomorrow, capable of building anything you ask of it, do you actually have the human taste, the vision, and the judgment to know what is worth building? You don't have to drink from the fire hose anymore. You know where the valve is. The only question left is what you are going to do with the water.